Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time coming to you on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It is Monday, January 21st, 2019. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your holiday. And I really hope you guys out there are reflecting on, of course, what MLK stood for, what he meant to this great nation. Heck, not just this great nation, but this entire world. This is the day where we reflect on that, okay, folks? And later on this hour, we are going to have a fantastic guest that will be joining us here on Current Sports to commemorate this holiday. We'll have Victor Robinson of Peace Players International. He is a Peace Players International operations manager, which focuses on using sports to influence the youth. And he has put together a great MLK Day program for the youth. And he's going to talk about what this day means to him. But when it comes to sports talk, folks, oh my gosh, I am dying to get to what happened yesterday in the National Football League. I know if you're like me, you are glued to your television, losing your mind watching both of those respective championship games in the AFC Championship between the Saints and the Rams, and of course later on that evening between the Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots. It was one entertaining Sunday, arguably the most entertaining Sunday of all time, I think, as both championship games went to overtime. I've got a lot that I need to get off my chest concerning both of those games, okay? And I'm sure you do as well. We'll also be previewing tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game. The Spartans will get back at it tonight against Maryland. And it should be a pretty big game for Michigan State to continue to bolster that resume and possibly move up in the polls. Yes, the newest college basketball poll has been released. I'll give you an update on that as well. But that'll primarily be the foundation of today's show. Again, we'll have Victor Robinson of Peace Players International to join us for a special MLK interview with him. We will dive into the championship games in the AFC and the NFC yesterday, and we'll talk a little MSU men's basketball, okay? That will be the show. If you would like to join the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can comment below our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. We're going to shake things up a bit. We will get to our headliners a little bit before the first break, but let's waste no time and let's get to talking some NFL.
I got a dream.
One day
we're gonna work it out.
One day.
They've got to go back to the Brady sneak or something, don't they? Oh, they're killing it. Usually means a motion and a run out wide to the right. Here's the handoff into the end zone. It's Sony Michel. Third and five.
Within the ball game.
I got to put Gronkowski out wide. They've got to get him. He's your guy when it's one on one. They finally got him. There he is.
On the top of the screen.
If he's doubled, you're going to throw inside right here to Edelman. You just look up there and pick him.
Here they come after Brady. Goes down the field to Gronk. Turns around, makes the catch. He saw what you saw, Tony.
With 4 yards away from New England taking back the lead.
They're going to run this ball. Kansas City's got to sell out.
Here's a handoff to Burkhead. Burkhead pulls ahead and scores the touchdown.
Gronk's got a chip. Running back's got a help, so he has time to throw. Once again, Edelman in the middle of the field.
Pocket sealed. Down the middle. Edelman again with a third down catch.
Gronk is out wide. Watch the top of your screen. Watch this safety. If he comes down, there's a good chance he's throwing out there.
It's Gronk for the first down.
New England tried to play action earlier. I can't see it here. This has to be a run.
Second and goal to Burkhead. Burkhead to the end zone. Hello, Super Bowl. New England is heading back again for the third straight year.
I got a dream.
One day.
We're going to work it out.
One day.
Oh, man, that's one of my favorite hip-hop joints of all time. Shout-out to Will.i.am and Common. You know, one of my favorite lyrics from that track. You know, hate has no color or age. Flip the page. Now my rage became freedom. Writing dreams in the dark. They far, but I can see them. I believe in heaven more than hell, blessings more than jail. In the ghetto, let love prevail. With the story to tell, my eyes see the glory and well. The world waiting for me to yell, I have a dream. Shout out to Common. That's hip-hop, folks. That's hip-hop. And, of course, it's remixed with, of course, the I Have a Dream speech. One of the most famous speeches in our nation's history. The great Martin Luther King Jr. We remember what he stood for. We remember his life and legacy here on this MLK Day, January 21st, 2019. Thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your holiday. Man, do we have a lot to get to. Because as you just heard, and by the way, you know, of course, I'm going to find a way to intermix some Dallas Cowboys love during this hour, right? Shout out to Tony Romo. You just heard Jim Nantz and Tony Romo on the broadcast. They called the game on CBS between the New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game last night. And Tony Romo is like Nostradamus. I mean, this dude, and you heard it there. I mean, like play after play after play. Tony Romo can predict what is coming before it even happens. I mean, and you heard him during the broadcast. Tom Brady, he's killing the play here. This usually means a run to the right, and boom, it happens. Uh-oh, Gronk is lined up one-on-one right there at the top of your screen. If they don't double him from the safety, you watch Tom go to him. And then what happens? Tom Brady throws to Rob Gronkowski. I mean, just some of the tweets that came in last night at Cabby Richards. Tony Romo knows how Game of Thrones ends. At Bryce Harper, the famed Bryce Harper baseball player, quote, confirmed, just called Tony Romo to see where I'm going to play next year. Hashtag, you're a wizard, Tony. At Ryan Brown, WJOX, if Tony Romo ever tells you that tomorrow is your last day on earth, you better get your affairs in order. I mean, come on. It just keeps going and going and going. Tony Romo is the best color commentator in all of sports, not just the world of football. It is so fun listening to him. But let's get right to it, shall we? Patriots-Chiefs is where I'm going to start. because that's the fresher game on everybody's mind. If you aren't a L.A. Rams fan or a fan of the New Orleans Saints, and Saints fans, I see ya. I'm going to get to the call, but you're probably not going to like what I have to say about the call. All right? So that's a tease there. Patriots Chiefs. First off, can we just mark it in stone now? Tom Brady is the GOAT. You know it. Even though some of you guys try to hate out there, I know there is a deep disdain for the greatness that we're watching right now, the greatness that is the New England Patriots dynasty. But you know when you're watching greatness, folks, and you know when you're watching something special. And the New England Patriots have been special for a long time. A long time, folks. This isn't new. And the Patriots did everything that they were supposed to do to beat the Chiefs last night. When it came to the game plan, the New England Patriots executed that game plan to a T. And what do we hear coming into this game, right? You know, that the Chiefs in this high-powered offense and, you know, Patrick Mahomes, this could be a passing of the torch game. Patrick Mahomes played great when he was on the football field. Now, and don't get me wrong, that first half was nasty, though, right? I mean, and it's hard. In the defense of Patrick Mahomes, it is hard to go out there and compete against the New England Patriots of all teams if you can't get on the field consistently. And what the Patriots did, the execution that they had, one of those game plans was, of course, to make sure that the Chiefs, that offense did not have the football very much. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, the New England Patriots completely dominated when it came to time of possession. And frankly, when you look at the stats, I mean, it's amazing that this game went to overtime. I mean, the Patriots dominated in first downs. So they executed one of those game plans, right? I mean, you know, keeping that clock moving, put an emphasis on the run game and just keeping that clock ticking. 36 first downs to 18. That's amazing. When it comes to the rushing attack. You know, we heard all this jazz about, oh, yeah, I mean, you know, you got Mahomes and you got, of course, you know, Kareem Hunt on that team. How are they going to slow down him? The Patriots dominated the rushing attack when comparing both teams. The Chiefs only had 41 yards on the ground. The Patriots, 176 yards on the ground. How about Rob Gronkowski? Oh, he's lost a step. He's just become a blocking tight end now for the Pats. Rob Gronkowski had 6 of the biggest catches in that game. 6 catches, 79 yards. Amazing. Oh, how about this? We heard this a lot, too. Oh, if you can get Tom Brady off of his spot and put pressure on him, you got a chance in this game. Tom Brady went untouched. That Patriots offensive line was superb. Gave Tom Brady all the time in the world to make magic happen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, Tom had he had that time and the day. He could read the newspaper, sip some coffee, tweet a little bit. I mean, he could do whatever he wanted in that pocket. And if you give Tom Brady time, he will just rip you apart. But still, with all of that being said, and this speaks to the brilliance of Patrick Mahomes, you know, with that being said, and you know, the Patriots dominating time of possession with all that I just stated, this is a game that was still close and still went down to the wire. You know, in just the fourth quarter alone, the Patriots scored 14 points, and Kansas City had 24 points in the fourth. That's amazing. Pushing this thing to overtime. And the formula for beating that high-powered offense of the Chiefs, just don't let them get on the field. You know, the Patriots won, ideally, when they won the coin toss. And, you know, just looking at, you know, that final drive that put the nail in the coffin for the Chiefs. I mean, how amazing was that? You know, Brady is just brilliant. Belichick, brilliant. And I just saw a story that came out today. You know, that morning, yesterday morning, when the Patriots were at the team hotel, the Patriots coaching staff inserted 8 new plays. 8 new plays that they had never rehearsed on the field before. That, you know what they did? They were just in the hotel and said, hey, guys, we got 8 new plays. Let's go through them right now in the hotel lobby. That's what happened. 8 new plays. You know how many of those 8 that they used yesterday against the Chiefs? 5. 5 new plays that were rehearsed in the hotel lobby the morning of the AFC Championship game. And the Patriots used 5 of those 8 plays. Never rehearsed before in practice, on turf. Never used before in game action this season. Rehearsed them in a hotel lobby the morning of the biggest game of the season and executed 5 of the 8 to perfection. This is what separates the Patriots from every team in the league. They are more disciplined than you. They are more coachable than you. They do not make mistakes. And we've seen that on display in the playoffs. And we've seen this on display from a Bill Belichick coach team for quite some time now. And then Tom Brady. You know, and again, you talk about mistakes. Oh, the Patriots had this. Oh, excuse me, the Chiefs had this thing in the bag. The interception that Tom Brady threw. And Tom, I'm not saying Tom had the most perfect game in the world. Heck, he threw a horrible interception to Rob Gronkowski earlier on in that game. But he threw a pick. He threw a pick. The game was dead and gone. And I forget, can you refresh my memory, Connor, on who lined up in the neutral zone?
Pretty sure it was D. Ford.
D. Ford, thank you.
Almost 90% sure it is
no,
D. Ford.
You're 1,000% sure on this one. It is D. Ford. I never forget that name. I did just now because I had to, of course, adhere to you behind the glass. But D. Ford is the man that lined up in the neutral zone. Nope, that's not an interception. And you give the Patriots a second chance. You know, you can't give the Patriots a second chance to execute a play. You can't make mistakes like that on that stage. Game in hand, D. Ford lined up offside. So, and you look at the execution here in overtime, you know, going back to that drive, there were 3 big third down plays that if the Chiefs just find a way to make a stop, they got a good opportunity of winning this game. Getting the ball back for Patrick Mahomes, you know, limiting the Patriots to possibly a field goal. Couldn't even do that. And the Patriots went down the field and of course, scored the eventual game-winning touchdown. 3rd and 10 at the New England 35. Brady finds Julian Edelman to the Kansas City 45, 20 yards. All right. Let's brush that off, KC defense. 3rd and 10 at the Kansas City 45. Tom Brady again goes to Edelman. All the way to the Kansas City 30 for 15-yard completion. They muff yet another 3rd down. And then, of course, as you just heard Tony Romo predicting, that 3rd and 10 play on the Kansas City 30 in which Brady finds Rob Gronkowski for 15 yards to the Kansas City 15. And then from there, you know, it eventually capped off. That drive was eventually capped off with, of course, the game-winning touchdown, Rex Burkhead's 2-yard run. The Chiefs had opportunities in this game, despite the fact that so much of the game plan went wrong, and they just couldn't capitalize. and the Patriots executed the game plan to perfection. And you look at the disparity when it comes to time of possession. The Patriots had the ball for 44 minutes. The Chiefs, 21 minutes. That's incredible. If you were just to hand me the box score of this game without giving me the final score, you would have thought that the Patriots would have blown out the Chiefs, that it wouldn't have been close. Again, 36-18, first down differential. Total yards, 524 total yards for the Patriots, 290. The Chiefs didn't even get to 300 yards in this game. You know, and then you look at the time of possession. Then you look at the rushing disparity, 176-41. If you gave me those stats and said, Al, predict the score, I'm taking the Patriots by at least double digits. The fact that this thing went to overtime is amazing. And I loved watching, and they've since taken it down. I don't know if anybody tuned in to the New England Patriots Facebook page. Immediately, and I mean immediately, after the game was done, they have since taken it down because it just has a lot of vulgar language. I wanted to roll on it right then and there because I'm like, oh, man, this will be awesome to play on Monday's Current Sports, but there are just way too many F-bombs left and right. I mean, Tom Brady comes in and, just beep, beep, beep. That's how, if I would have played that on today's Current Sports, that's how it would have sounded. Not great radio. But they've taken it down because there was so much cursing going on. But, that genuine emotion, though, was really cool to see. And Tom Brady going in the locker room, you see him embrace Julian Edelman, and Julian Edelman says, hey, man, I'm doing this for you. You know, I play to make you look good. And Tom Brady's just like, look, man, you were awesome. I mean, it was just a really cool moment to see. And, you know, the legend continues. You know, Tom Brady, you can't give him golden opportunities like that. And it's amazing to me when watching Tom play, and there were multiple moments where, you know, especially when the Chiefs responded and, you know, eventually took the lead 28-24. And I'm watching Tom. The camera pans to Tom Brady on the sideline. You just see him so locked in, so focused, just throwing the football around, just trying to keep warmed up. What amazes me about that moment and countless moments throughout Tom Brady's career is that he lives up to the moment more so than not. It's like watching Jordan play basketball. It's like watching, you know, I guess Ruth on the diamond, whatever, man. Just name a great player, right? You know when you're watching greatness. And Tom Brady lives up to the challenge more times than not. And he certainly did so last night. Absolutely amazing. And when I heard the story about the 8 new plays and the Patriots using 5 of those new plays, just rehearsing them in the hotel lobby, I said, you got to be kidding me. That's unreal. So the Patriots move on, and real quick here, and you look at the legacy of Tom Brady now. Just real quick, want to go through this. I mean, this is just crazy. Look at all the records owned by Brady: regular season wins by a starting quarterback, most passing yards in regular season, most passing yards in the regular season and the playoffs, most passing touchdowns, postseason included, most touchdowns thrown to different receivers, division titles, playoff games started, playoff wins, playoff touchdown passes, playoff passing yards, Super Bowl appearances, 9. Count them. That's crazy. Super Bowl wins, Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl touchdown passes, Super Bowl passing yards. Debate over. The greatest to ever do it behind center. And I think you can make a legit argument that he may be the greatest player we've ever seen on the football field. So, let's rewind the clock a little bit. Prior to that game, we saw a thrilling matchup between the New Orleans Saints, the home team, and the Los Angeles Rams. Now, all anyone is going to remember is that final pass interference call, right? And we actually have audio. Let's play some audio of what happened yesterday afternoon at New Orleans, a ruckus, crazy, insane, in the membrane atmosphere Let's play some of that audio from that game action yesterday.
Point on third and 10. Quick snap. Breeze. Pass is incomplete. No flag for Tommy Lee Lewis. Talk to each other. Crowd's going crazy as there's no flag right on the Saints sideline. This for the lead. 31-yard try is good. The kick is good. Zuerlein clutch, and with 15 seconds left. Breeze, protection breaks down, ball is up for grabs and caught, picked off by John Johnson. That ball hit at the line of scrimmage and John Johnson on his back. Bad snap. The kick is good. Rams win it and on to Super Bowl 53 they go.
Okay, you know how the mind works? You know how the mind works, folks. You know, I always steal, you know, the line from Janet Jackson's Fame song, "What have you done for me lately?" And, you know, when we look at our minds and we replay a game that is as tight as the two that we saw in both the NFC and the AFC Championship yesterday, you know what we ask our minds? You know, when we think about that game and how that game panned out between the Rams and the Saints, or the Patriots and Chiefs for that matter, the mind immediately gets lazy and says, okay, what's the most recent thing I remember? What stands out in that game? And when looking at that game, of course, the only thing, the play that your mind immediately goes to is, of course, the pass interference that was blown. I mean, it was one of the worst non-calls in National Football League history. Nickell Robey-Coleman obliterated Tommy Lee Lewis on that play. In real time, when I watched it, I just thought, okay, that's just a bang-bang play. And then you see the slow-motion replay and you say, what? They missed that? A clear pass interference. Horrible call. And who knows what would happen if that's called, maybe the Saints win. I think they got a great shot at winning that game. But you know what kills me is how sports fans, you know, and you look, this is a game that went to overtime, folks. You know, 3 hours goes by. And you blame the reason why a team won or lost on one call. And you don't look at the big picture. You fail to look at the big picture. It is lazy. It's a lazy sports take. It really is. It's an easy sports take. And lazy is easy, folks. Because when I went back this morning and I looked at the condensed version of this game on YouTube, there were multiple opportunities. And I'm talking multiple opportunities for the Saints to come away with this win. And you got to give LA credit. They had so much going against them in this game. Todd Gurley was a non-factor. Arguably the best running back in the league was neutralized. He spent most of the time sucking his thumb on the bench. Okay? And then how about the sound in New Orleans? You know, Connor and I, we talked about the sound in Arrowhead Stadium. It compared nothing to that of what we saw in New Orleans yesterday. And I kept hearing this whistle on my TV, and come to find out it's this whistle fan that dresses up, and he's got like this crazy whistle that sounds like an actual whistle, but it's actually a man-made whistle.
Produces the loudest whistle right. You'll ever hear on Earth.
I can hear it kind of.
You can hear it coming through all the other crowd noise. Yeah. I mean, that's just absolutely crazy.
Crazy. I thought that somebody brought in an actual whistle, yeah. And I'm like, hold on, that's not fair. Oh, come on now, that's illegal. But no, it's an actual whistle man. That's what they call him. Crazy. The sound in that stadium, and you could see. Jared Goff struggled, man. I mean, anytime you got to run all the way to your right receiver to try and relay a call, I mean, he tried to run and try and hike the ball back. I mean, he literally ran to his receiver to the right and then came back and then realize, okay, the play clock's winding down here. You know, he had tape on his ear holes to try and make sure that he received the call from, you know, McVay. I mean, it was crazy. All of that going against, you know, L.A., and they still find a way to win this game. But how? But Saints fans, you're really going to cry about this one play when you had multiple opportunities. How about the way you started that game? You know, red zone opportunities right there. Not once, but twice after Goff threw that interception on I think it was the first drive of the game. Was that the first or second drive of the game? Something like that, Connor.
It was early.
It was very early in that game, and you got two red zone opportunities. How many points you pull out? Six. Two field goals. I mean, the Rams were saying, come at us, man. And this isn't a lights out L.A. Rams defense. But they play big in that moment, and you can't blame anybody but yourself. Can't blame anybody but yourself, folks. So, you know, I have flashbacks to that. I think about Todd Gurley being neutralized. You know, Drew Brees didn't have his best game in that game, you know. 249, two touchdowns, yeah, but he had a, you know, interception in that game as well. An overall rushing attack that was really dismal. It really was, folks. I mean, 48 yards? 48 yards on the ground from the Saints? You know, this team, this is a squad that has Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, and just 48 yards on the ground. So, sure, bad, bad missed call by the refs. But don't blame that on the reason why your New Orleans Saints lost. You had opportunities to win that game, and you blew them. You couldn't capitalize. Refs are going to blow calls. We've seen this all year. Why are we acting like, you know, also what irritates me, we act like this is the first time that a referee has blown a call. It happens on a game-by-game, week-by-week basis in the National Football League. And it's been really bad this year. But when you blame one play for the reason why you are not heading to the Super Bowl, come on, man. It's a lazy take. Real quick, before we hit the first break, Connor.
I will say this, to kind of pacify some of the Saints fans. I think the NFL does really have a consistency officiating problem.
It's horrible.
It even showed up a little bit in the Chiefs Patriots. You had the score that the Chiefs had was a pick play, which I don't think anyone who watches the NFL or covers it understands what is a legal pick play versus a non-legal pick play. You have on two consistent drives, you have a drive where Patrick Mahomes appears at first to get hit in the face, doesn't get hit in the face, no call. Cut to the last drive, Brady, same exact play happens to Tom Brady, and he gets the call.
How is that a roughing the passer?
It's The NFL bad. Really, really needs to take a look in the mirror and say, we have a serious officiating issue, whether it be someone's performing poorly or it's our rules are just too complicated. I mean, it can't keep coming down to this. This is ridiculous. I mean, we have a couple of years ago, the infamous Dez catch. That cost a team a playoff. A couple years after the Lions phantom pass interference call. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take. I think honestly, it should start with the NFL training and paying refs better so that there's an incentive for you to focus on your craft and hone it in, because this is ridiculous. You can't miss these calls in these big time situations. With that being said, you're absolutely right. The Saints play calling up until that point was questionable.
There's plenty of
error and plenty of blame for all the sides involved here, but I mean, if the NFL doesn't come out, and they still haven't issued a statement, if the NFL doesn't come out and say we royally screwed this up, and they are trying to fix it. They, no, they told that to Sean Payton. They haven't made a public statement, which is what they usually do in these situations.
What's the day after? I mean, it's still fresh. It should be,
but I mean, it's just something that they need to own and they really need to fix and not just say, hey, we're going to do our best with what we got. No, actually take a look at this and say, what can we do to improve?
Well, and I see a story here. This is coming from the Washington Post. The NFL will consider making pass interference calls reviewable. And I'm seeing that being reported by multiple sources. So if that happens, I think it's a good thing. If you got replay and you got video, you know, get it right. Get it right. I'm with you. But my point that I just want to stress is that it irritates my soul anytime. And I get it because your fans are speaking from emotion. In the moment, it was so blatant. It came at a key moment of the game. And you possibly if it's called there, who knows? You may be going to the Super Bowl. So I get it. But to blame the reason why you're not in the Super Bowl or why you didn't win a game, period, on just one play is laughable to me. It's laughable because the Saints had multiple opportunities to win this game, multiple opportunities. Again, I just flash back to those first two drives when you are in the red zone. I don't know who the player was. I think it was a tight end to drop the pass in the end zone. And then Goff throws a bad interception. And you come out of there with just 6 points. If you just score one touchdown on one of those two drives, you win the game. So stop it. I understand, bad call, one of the worst ever, but don't blame the reason why you're not in the Super Bowl in the ATL on that one play. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll take your calls. We'll also, again, welcome to the show, Victor Robinson of Peace Players International. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
This nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
All right, happy MLK Day to you all. Thank you for joining us here on what is hopefully your day off. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished up a conversation concerning both championship games in the National Football League yesterday in the AFC and the NFC. The LA Rams will be playing Tom Brady and the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl in Atlanta come next month. Real quick, before we get to Victor Robinson of Peace Players International, let's take a quick phone call from Mike from Saginaw, who is on line one. Mike, what's up?
What's up, man?
I'm doing
what's
well.
Up,
happy.
Man? I assume you didn't want to play the Martin Luther King with the Boondocks episode.
No, I don't think that is FCC compliant, Mike. So yeah, we won't be playing that one. I know which episode you're talking about, though.
All right. I just thought I'd just bring you some humor, but you know what? I gotta give Patrick Mahomes some credit. You know, he almost carried that team to the Super Bowl, man.
He did.
They didn't score no points to the fourth quarter. He tied it up, and they went to overtime.
And you know
you
what, Mike?
You got to give him some credit for that.
And you know
really
what?
Do.
Did you see the story that came out after the game? Tom Brady actually approached a security guard that was standing outside of the Kansas City Chiefs locker room, and he asked to speak with Patrick Mahomes. And they went into a private room, and you know, they had a one-on-one conversation. I thought that was an incredibly classy move by who I believe is the greatest football player of all time. So, really cool moment there. Patrick Mahomes has a bright future.
I want to say this about Nakama Kasuk is finally going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Van Noy from the Patriots finally going to the Super Bowl. And guess what team they started their careers with?
Yeah, you already know, the Honolulu Blue. I know. That's that. Hey, you leave the Lions and it's like a whole new world, right? So there you go. Mike, thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
All right, Mike from Saginaw. There's a lot of emotion in the room, I feel like, today. Connor, I was right. You were wrong. Whenever I'm right, I just have to say it because I'm rarely right here on Current Sports. So whenever I'm right, you will hear about it. All right? And I did pick both of the teams, but you could have went either way. Both games.
Hey, my team in New Orleans got cheated, Al. What are you talking about? I got cheated.
There you go.
I should have had one.
Exactly. And real quick, final thoughts. Alec Rio is also in studio. Final thoughts, Alec.
Yeah, Tom Brady just took my hopes away of getting my prediction right because I was having a Chiefs-Rams Super Bowl. I had that prediction since, I think, week three. I was like, yeah. These high offense teams, high octane, you know, like even the Rams defense, they really shut it down. They really did last night. They played great
in moments.
Aaron Donald. That's all I got to say. Aaron Donald.
Right. That's going to be a fun matchup to watch in the Super Bowl. All right, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. He has been waiting oh so patiently on our phone line. Victor Robinson joins us for a special MLK interview. Vic has been doing some remarkable things in the Detroit area. He is an operations manager for Peace Players International, and they have been celebrating and will continue to do so, of course, celebrating MLK Day on this January 21st. Vic, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, man?
Al, happy MLK Day, good brother.
Happy,
doing well today.
Without a doubt. And you know what, Vic, I've never allowed you to do this. You know, I think we've only had you on once, so I didn't allow you to do this the first time you were on. But I want to first talk some sports with you because you are one of the biggest sports fans that I know. When you were watching what took place in both respective championship games yesterday in the NFL playoffs, I mean, I just want to get your thoughts on both games.
Man, I really appreciate your perspective and dissecting both games today because I'm still trying to process what happened. I mean, two overtime games as a sports fan for the conference championships, you can't ask for anything better than that. I mean, the two best teams in both conferences playing down to the wire. So just from an entertainment standpoint, it was great.
Without a doubt, yeah.
I did, you know, kind of lament over a couple of the blown calls, but at the end of the day, both those teams played 60 minutes plus as hard as they could. Mm-hmm. And I got to respect the champion. I'm not a fan of New England. I left a comment on your live, but you got to respect what Tom Brady's been able to do over the course of the years. Consistently winning and playing at a high level. New England has a system. They're a well-oiled machine. No matter who you put in any position, they continue year after year to compete for Super Bowls. So I respect it. I think Kansas City, at the end of the day, they'll learn a lot from this, having a second-year quarterback and a younger team. And you'll probably see them for years and years to come, you know, competing for Super Bowls. But what about those L.A. Rams?
Mm-hmm.
Youngest coach in the league. Dominating D-line, probably the best defensive player in football, and to win it the way that they won it, I'm just really excited for those young guys to get a chance to go out there and prove it against a legend. So, I mean, I enjoyed the competition of yesterday, and as a sports fan, that's all I can ask for.
I totally agree with you, Vic, and you know, what also amazed me about the L.A. Rams, you know, all the adversity they had to face in New Orleans. You know, Jared Goff could barely hear his mic that was in his helmet coming from head coach Sean McVay. But how poised Jared Goff was down the stretch in that game was absolutely amazing. And also the fact that Sean McVay, I mean, this dude is just 32 years old. Like you just said, Vic, I mean, youngest coach in the league. You know, last week, the week prior to, he became the youngest coach ever to win a playoff game, and now he's going to the Super Bowl at 32. He doesn't turn 33 until January 24th, which is a few days from now. That's amazing to me, Vic. It makes me question, man, what am I doing with my life right now? He's 32 and going to a Super Bowl? Crazy.
and what's really crazy to me is Sean McVay is truly a wizard.
Yeah.
When I look at Jared Goff, first overall pick 3 years ago to Jared Goff of yesterday, I'm like, man, this guy can do anything. So Sean McVay, his ability to kind of mold and whisper to quarterbacks, I think we're gonna see a few banners raised in L.A. for the Rams side in the near future.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. All right, Vic. Well, let's get right to it, man, because you are a part of course, the nonprofit Peace Players International, and you are an operations manager with Peace Players, and you are actually leading the company's Detroit-based MLK Day celebrations. And I just want to kind of I want you to kind of just take us through how you went about planning this and the response that you've been getting from the youth.
Yeah, man. So last time I was on here, we were about 3 months programming when Peace Players first came to the U.S. And I kind of talked about the work we were doing in Detroit and what we hope to do over the course of the next, you know, few years. And this past weekend, we were able to celebrate MLK through sport. A lot of those things that I talked to you about that I hope we were able to accomplish back then, a lot of those things are coming to fruition now. So as we began to plan for this event back in late October, mm-hmm. We started putting our eyes on the second annual MLK celebration. We actually just hired a dynamic project coordinator to our team, Jasmine Cooper, and one of our first tasks together was to plan an MLK event for 2019. So we kind of hit the ground running and had some talks with Wayne State University, their sports administration graduate program, and their community affairs program, and really just chopped it up on how we could partner to make this event even bigger to celebrate Dr. King's legacy. Nike, our global community impact team, a sponsor for Peace Players, coming to the U.S., they were catalysts and also helping us get this thing going. And what we wanted to do was give young people an opportunity not only to remember Dr. King's legacy, but to really show, you know, what they want their legacy to be, whether it's through visual arts, whether it's through performing arts, through a song, a speech, a poem, or a picture or a poster. And that was really kind of the driving force that kind of led us in the planning of our event. So with Saturday's event, we did it at Wayne State University's Mort Harris Recreation Center. Mm-hmm. We brought out young people from across the city of Detroit, mainly from the Cody Rhodes and Southwest Detroit area, and young people ages 10 to 17. We did it a little different from our normal programming where we had a three-point competition, we had a shooting competition, we had a skills contest similar to the NBA All-Star Game. And it was all designed to really celebrate Dr. King's legacy through sport. So in addition to the workshop on what we wanted the kids' legacy to be, they got a chance to do some cool things on the court. Nike came through with some really cool Until We All Win t-shirts to launch their campaign. They came through with a digital photo booth that printed out photos on the spot for all the young people. We had Pistons tickets to give away as prizes, Nike gift cards. We had a DJ, live music, food. And it was just a really fun way to celebrate Dr. King's legacy for our young people who may not have always, you know, heard about, you know, all that he's done for America and really making the progress that we've made to this day.
That is awesome, Vic. And, you know, that is a great segue into my next question here. I mean, when you talk about MLK. And I know, you know, just like yourself, when we were coming up in school, you know, it was a part of the curriculum in schools to teach about MLK and what he stood for. I'm curious, you know, with you working hands on with today's youth, how big is the legacy of MLK in today's youth? Is it still as strong?
I don't know if it's as strong as it was maybe 10, 15 years ago when we were in grade school. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure why the reason is, but I feel like it's an onus upon us to continue to ingrain that legacy into our young people's minds on a daily basis. Dr. King was so important to me as a youngster growing up. He was one of my biggest role models. One of those top three people that I would love to sit down with, dead or alive, and really, you know, get his feedback on the things that he saw in the civil rights movement. And I think a lot of times, I don't know if it's lost in translation or as generations continue to pass, we kind of diminish the legacy over time. But I don't think we give enough credit for just how great of a leader Dr. King was. I had a chance to really ask our young people in the workshop, you know, what do you know about Dr. King before we jumped into legacies? And, you know, I had one young lady, she was about 7 years old, say he wrote a letter from jail. And her knowing about a letter from a Birmingham jail was really touching to me, the fact that at 7 years old, she knew about that. But overall, there wasn't a great sense of all that he had accomplished and all that he had done to bring people together, not just here in the U.S., but around the world. And I think we've kind of lost a bit of touch with that and making sure that our young people understand who he is, how great he is, and just what type of leader has allowed us and helped afford us the benefits and the rights that we have today.
That is very well put, Vic. And again, it is our responsibility to make sure that the youth coming up know about the legacy that Dr. King left behind, to learn about his life, because it is oh so important, especially in the contentious times that we are currently living in. Vic, I'm getting a lot of responses right now as we come up here at the top of the hour. But for those listening right now that are interested and you know, want to know more about Peace Players and the outstanding things that you and your team is doing, how can my listeners get involved with you guys?
Yeah, we're always looking for youth, and we're always looking for volunteers. Right now we're in two communities in Detroit, Southwest Detroit and Cody Rouge. But our goal is to expand all across the seven districts in the city. So we would love for those interested to either come out and bring youth, or reach out and volunteer and help pour into the young people that we serve on a daily. If you're interested in doing so, you can learn more about what we do at peaceplayers.org. But if you'd like to get involved, you can reach out to me at vrobinson@peaceplayersintl.org. That's vrobinson@peaceplayersintl.org. And just let me know if you want to volunteer, if you're interested in a kid coming out, or just want to sit down and have a talk and learn more about the work that we're doing in the city, or just giving back in any way. So just reach out at my email, and we would love to sit down and chat and talk more about the work that we're doing in the city.
And we'll be sure to provide that information when we post the podcast version of this hour as well. Vic, we got to get you back on the regular, man. Thank you so much for your time, and keep up the great job out there, all right?
Definitely, brother. I appreciate you having me on Current Sports, man. I love your show. And next time you're in the city, man, we got to get you dripped in some Peace Players gear.
Oh, yes. I would, you know, I'm all about free gear, baby. All right?
I got you.
Let's make it happen again. Victor Robinson of Peace Players International. Fantastic stuff. All right, let's hit our final break. Austin from KZU. Isaiah, we'll take Austin's call, and we'll put a wrap on this Monday MLK Day edition of Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Just finished up a chat with Victor Robinson of Peace Players International. Let's go to our phone lines as we close out the hour with just 4 minutes left. Austin from KZU is on the line. Austin, what's up, my man? Long time no talk.
Hey, what's up, Al? How you doing, man? Happy New Year.
You got it, and Happy New Year to you as well, man.
Appreciate it, man. I got the wifey next to me listening to the show. So go green, fellow Spartan alumni.
Nice, Dom. What's up? I haven't seen you guys in so long. What's up, though, man?
I was going to talk about sports, man, but after Victor Robinson just got off, we were at a Martin Luther King event earlier by a gentleman. His name is Khalid El Hakim, mm-hmm. and he's the founder and the curator of the African-American Mobile Museum. You guys should check it out. And it kind of shows the history and time of African-American history, starting with slavery all the way to current day with everything that Colin Kaepernick did. And while he was talking, one of the things that he mandated the audience to do was to read books that Martin Luther King wrote himself and not books that others wrote, because the books that Martin Luther King wrote go in depth into who he is, how he thought, you know, the things that he dealt with that aren't talked about. So I just want to challenge the listeners to do the same, because I'm a victim of not doing it. And it really sparked something in me to inspire me to read a book written by Martin Luther King. So I want to just challenge the current sports listeners to do the same thing.
That is awesome, Austin. And can you tell us where is that museum located at?
Well, it's a mobile museum. So he's been in 34 different states, over 300 different colleges and universities and different exhibits. Right now, he's at Kalamazoo College in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and he has a website. It's called BlackHistory101MobileMuseum.com, and you can check it out to see where he'll be next.
Oh, that is awesome. And you know what, Austin? I don't know if you have seen this documentary, but I think personally it's the best documentary ever done on Martin Luther King Jr., but it's entitled King in the Wilderness. HBO wow. did it, and okay. you know, it really dives into MLK's work in the North, not just the wow. South, but it talks okay. about the work that he did in Chicago specifically, and how you know, this is kind of the trials and tribulations that he had to go through in trying to unify the North, areas of the North, you know, especially Chicago. And he called Chicago the most divided city he had ever visited. And they've got wow. some footage, man, that is so powerful, dude. It's, and you know, to add some credibility to it, I'm a big Rotten Tomatoes guy. It's got 100% okay. on the tomato meter. So check it out, man, all right?
All right, cool. And last thing, you know, I got to end with something on sports.
Yeah, real quick.
Referees, you got to make that call. New Orleans had a dream yeah. to make it to the Super Bowl, and they won't make it because the referees ruined it. So,
Austin and Dom, thank you guys so much. Appreciate the call, all right?
All right, have a good one, Al.
You got yeah. it, man. All right, as we come up on just 30 seconds left, again, folks, happy MLK Day to you all. Remember why we celebrate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King. Remember the message that he always preached, one of unity, never one of being divided. And I think, again, that message is just so important here in 2019, living in the contentious times that we do. So happy MLK Day to you all. We'll be back at it on Tuesday. Be easy, people.